Blog Talk Radio.
If you're coming with me, you need nerves of steel. 'Cause I take corners on two wheels. Well, it's a never-ending circus ride. Pain of heart need not apply.
It's been a while. I apologize for all of the delays and all the shows, but I got married, and apparently when you get married, you have to kind of give them attention, and well, between everything I'm doing, well, I've had to kind of cut back on the shows. He was getting a little upset, but hopefully I can get these things going, you know, more of once a week, but I'm shooting for once a month. You know, we've all got to set our goals small. That way we can get them. I mean, you hear, set them big, but I figured out if you set these big goals, when you don't reach them, it kind of gets to you, and you just feel kind of worn out trying to get there. So I'm setting little goals now, and that's the big change in marriage. You know, I'm not only dealing with marriage, I'm dealing with PTSD, so it has made things a lot harder. And this week, a lot of things have kicked me in the ass and said, hey, wake up, it's not as bad as you think. But let me give you a brief history so that we can catch up. I'm Jennifer. I've wrote a few books. I've lived one hell of a life. And, you know, I'm not even middle age yet. So, but I'm going to tell you, it's been a ride that is so much fun. If you listen to my previous shows, it'll kind of give you a heads up and catch you up. But I'm going to catch you up with the gist of things and then move right along into how to deal with this whole, I'm not going to call it a blended family. My friend Robin Walkast, you can check her out on Facebook. She did explain that blended family just sounds like you got a whole big mess. So I'm going to say, when you get married and you combine your families, we're going to call it a fine martini, because that is so useful in that if you drink enough of them, you forget all the crap that happened before. So we're going to call it a martini family, okay? I got married really young. I was still a teenager. I married my high school sweetheart the first time. We stayed married 11 years, and we had two sons. Those sons are awesome. My oldest is 15. My youngest is 10. I supported my family in that marriage. I worked the whole time. He didn't want to work. His family told him he was a king. He didn't have to work. I was young. I was stupid. I believed that shit. So I dealt with it. I didn't miss out on raising my kids because I did have such a job that I was able to be there for all the stuff. I would schedule my time off and, you know, I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed it because I made really good money doing it. And the only thing I didn't enjoy was coming into a messed up house because he didn't feel like he had to clean house either. He was a king. Okay, so we divorced when my younger son was still in diapers. He had just got finished breastfeeding. My older son was in second grade, and like I said, he got custody of the kids when we divorced due to a bunch of stuff I will not get into, a.k.a. review the previous shows. But anyway, that marriage was dealt with. I had the hell beat out of me. He held guns on me. It was just horrible. But I had been raised that divorce was wrong, and you were going to hell if you divorced. You made your marriage work. Well, I made it work as much as I could. But you just, it's kind of like as I was explaining to my counselor, you get tired of being beat on. When he started beating on my older son, that's when I got out. I didn't get out properly. Again, previous shows, if you are in an abusive situation, there's one show in particular I have, and I will try to add that link on this page where you can go to it and listen to it. I try to spend October doing domestic violence awareness, but if you're in an abusive situation, get the hell out early, okay? God didn't make junk, and God didn't make women to be beat on. God made women to be a helpmate, a partner to the man, okay? You, in a abusive situation, you feel useless. You feel like you're not worth it and you deserve it. I know I've been there. But let me tell you something. Man or woman, God didn't make no junk and God didn't make you to be hurt, okay? Get out, but have a plan when you get out. I did not have a plan. Therefore, I lost it all. I even lost my damn underwear. The man took my drawers, okay? But, you know, that is history. And we move on to the future. So, my second marriage, I met a kid because I always heard, raise them like you want them. I married him. It lasted 6 months, okay? I lived within 6 weeks of the 6 months. I had a son in that situation. Again, this man sent me to the hospital, okay, because younger has more strength, let me just tell you. So I ended up in the hospital, reality check, DHR stepped in. I got out of that. I did have a plan because I had learned from my previous mistake, have a plan. However, these two marriages led me to PTSD. And I want to give you the definition of PTSD because a lot of people hear PTSD, they automatically... they think, you know, military, you've been in war, you're having to, a friend of mine had traumatic PTSD from, he was in the war over in Afghanistan. We go to watch a movie, and, you know, on the beginning of the movie, it's like, boom, I look over and my sweet friend is underneath his chair, okay? That's called traumatic war PTSD. What we deal with after you've been in an abusive situation is called, I call it dating PTSD. You can call it marriage PTSD, but PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. It's triggered by a terrifying event, okay? You have flashbacks, nightmares, or anxiety. Hang on to that word, anxiety. It's uncontrollable thoughts about events, okay? That is the Mayo Clinic definition of PTSD. PTSD is not something that you can control. I mean, they do have anxiety medications to deal with it, but I do not prefer to be on that because it makes you feel like a robot, okay? But you can live a functional life, and you can live in another marriage with PTSD. You can date, but dating is hell after you've been through two big situations. You know, let me explain to you how my counselor explained it to me earlier this week. She explained, she said, do you realize you have PTSD? And I said, duh, you know, I was paying you to tell me I've got PTSD. Hell, I done heard that twice from two other counselors and you, as a matter of fact. And she, you know, by then she is giggling and she says, what, do you understand what PTSD is? I said, yeah, I'm depressed. I'm crying. What the hell, you know? And she says, no. PTSD means you expect the worst to happen. And I'm looking at her and I'm going, what? King and bad marriage. You're expecting a divorce. You're expecting this man to start beating on you. You're expecting him to start laying your clothes out for you. You expect it. What happens when you expect it? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what do you mean what happens when I expect it? The shit's going to happen. I'm going to get a divorce. Third time's a charm. He's going to kill me. And she says, no. he will turn, you know, he will get tired of you mistreating him because you are blaming him for stuff that these other men have done. And I'm looking at her going, that was a swift kick in the throat. You know, I'm paying for you to tell me I'm doing wrong. Okay, now. But the more I thought about it, I talked to my friend Annette Russell Aben. Check her out. She's on Facebook as well. She's written so many poems, but she's also a brilliant lady. But I'm talking with her yesterday, and I'm like, you know, my counselor just told me that my marriage is going to end in divorce and that I am doing everything wrong. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And this man is treating me horribly. And she says, well, tell me a little bit about it because I hadn't even talked to you since you got married. And when the hell did you get married? So, you know, I had to catch her up on all that. So I start telling her the story, and that's what I want to share with you today. Because I'm telling you, things are not as bad as we make them out to be. But with PTSD, yes, they are. Okay? So, since the marriage, let me just start out by dating. You know, we dated for about a year or so. We talked on the phone a long time before we even met. Then when we met in person, it was like I met my life partner. You know, it felt like something was missing whenever we were apart. But let me tell you how it started out. The first time we met, this man acted goofy as hell. I mean, he gets out of the car, he looks at me, and he stands there. And I looked at him, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, do I got a booger hanging out? And he says, no, you're beautiful to be ugly. And I looked at him, and I'm like, well, gee, thank you. You know, I sent you pictures. Hello. But apparently, while dating, someone had sent him some false pictures. So when he went to meet them in person, he didn't meet what he expected, which to me, when you send somebody false pictures, you know, you're starting out the relationship on a lie. But we will not get into that. That's a whole nother show, okay? But so, you know, as I have dated, I've dated quite a few. I'm not proud of it, but I did because I'm very selective, okay? Not anymore, though. I don't date. But anyway, so he opened the door for me. And I had not had that happen. And so two things happened when he opened the door for me. First, I stared at him then, and I was like, what? And, you know, it made you feel special. It made me feel so, like a princess. So anyway, we're sitting there, and we continue to talk, and we went and watched a movie. And he and I just didn't want to end the night, really. But I had to get back to my kids, because while I was dating, no one met my kids, okay? I do not believe in bringing people in and out of the children's lives, because that mixes them up. But moving right along, several weeks later, okay, my birthday, because this man is very different to me, okay? I'm wide open, and pardon the phrase, I love Jesus, but I do cuss a little, but I'm balls to the wall, okay? I live fast, I live hard. This man, he is just, he don't like to go out as much as I did. I mean, I was going to the bar every weekend going, hello, y'all, I'm back. Everybody knew me. But he don't like going to the bar. And he had, as we had begun talking more seriously, you know, he's like, if you're going to be the one that goes to the bar, I don't want to be with you because I don't want someone like that. He's like, if I'm not good enough for you to stay out of the bars, then I'm not good enough. I need to find somebody better, you know. And I liked him, so I quit going to the bars, which meant I cut down on my friends. So come my birthday, I had no friends, but I did have a party at a bar, but I didn't attend it because I really felt like I was in love with this guy. And so that night I chose, he met my kids. And, you know, that's a special birthday gift for me, which I didn't see at the time. So my 15-year-old walks in, and my friend, because they had been with their grandparents and went to get me a birthday gift, and Barry, which is my husband, had came over to watch a movie. And so we pause the movie, and he meets my parents and my kids at the same time. And my 15-year-old walks in and says, oh, there's a man here. Mom, really? And so we start talking, and my son, that night after he left, he says, "Mom, I really like him." And, you know, then it was like the Swiss kick in the gut. I knew things were going to kind of get serious then. Well, let me tell you about my two-year-old. When he met him naked, because my son likes to run around the house naked. As soon as he got home, he goes in his bedroom, he comes out, boom! And I knew this guy was going to stick around, because he looked at me, he says, "I think your son lost his clothes, but that's okay." You know, most people are like, "Holy shit, get that kid's clothes on. What are you talking about?" I didn't leave him naked. I did put his clothes back on him, but, you know, this guy didn't freak out. So I'm like, maybe he's parenting material, you know? So as we have gotten married, because some things happened with my ex, and my ex is like, "You're either going to get married or you're going to lose your son." And I had fought so long to get my 15-year-old back that, you know, I just went ahead and I thought, and, you know, he, as Barry and I had talked, it wasn't just like, "Oh, get married. There's a piece of paper that says you're going to get married or your kid's gone." It didn't happen like that. He had started staying. As he would go home, we felt like something was missing. And, you know, we just decided, why not? Okay, here's the why not. In Jennifer's mind, okay, granted, now keep in mind, it's PTSD. And you can ask any of my friends. I said I would never get married again. I said, you know, you when you say I do, that puts handcuffs on you, the ball and chain, you're going around, and it means your life's over, okay? Your life has ended. Ah, you got married. What the hell? Well, that's kind of how it went for me. I had a beautiful wedding. I've got several pictures up on my page. He is an Alabama fan. I am a Florida Gators fan, okay? We had an Alabama wedding, but I had my Florida Gators cup there, and it was part of the wedding, and I also had my Gators in person on my body, because everybody in the family is for Alabama, except for me and my 10-year-old, and he's an Auburn fan, so we had an Alabama wedding. But that wasn't what was horrible about the wedding. What was horrible was we said, "I do." And I'll never forget sitting there during the reception, everybody's like, "Oh, ah, Jennifer and Barry finally did it. Oh, my God. Oh, it's a beautiful wedding," all that. And I'm sitting there going, great, I just ended my life. As you know it, it's over. I'm never going to have any more privacy. Oh, my God, what am I going to do with myself? And that's the way I had lived the first few months of our marriage. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've been miserable to be around. That's also part of the reason I haven't done this show. I don't do a show to make you miserable. I do a show to kind of give you some advice and keep you laughing, because that's how I live. I like to roll. If you're not laughing, I'm not laughing. I'm not smiling. I'm getting wrinkles. Everybody's seeing. I'll stag your bottom, girl. I don't want none of that now. So, you know, I talked to the counselor and all. We've had some issues come up with my son, my 15-year-old. And as I'm talking to my mother, she's like, "Let me tell you, this is what the problem is. This is what your problem with your son is. This marriage thing, it's not working out. Do you not understand? He hears y'all fighting, which makes him mad, which is why he's acting out. Do you get this?" And I'm like, oh, she can't be right. Okay, it's my mother. Please. And how does she know we're fighting all the time? Come on now. And this is the deal. Fighting all the time. We're fighting a lot because, see, I don't like sharing my chair. I hate sharing my recliner. And I think he forgot because we said I do. I even went and got the dude a recliner, guys, okay? Of course, he don't like it as well as mine. Mine's nice. It's broke in. So he's got the recliner and the remote. Oh, piss me off. And my counselor says, "What did you expect? He lives there too. Y'all watch the same show. What's the problem?" And I'm like, "He's got the remote. He's got control." She said, "Bingo, boop, there, enlightening." I said, "What?" She said, "You said that word, control. You're afraid he's going to control you. You're blowing it all up." I'm like, Swiss kick to the neck. Oh, God, throat punch. Ooh. So then we get to talking some more. She said, what else is horrible about this marriage? What else is horrible that he's done? I said, he took money. She says, what? He took money out of my cup holder. And she says, whose money is it? I said, my money. She says, whoa, you're married. You don't expect him to have any money? I said, a little bit, not much. She said, okay. So what if you have a little bit, not much? I'm going, what the hell are you talking about? I don't have any money. He took the money out of my cup holder. And she says, Jennifer, really? I said, yeah, you're right. And so, you know, that's how PTSD works. It makes everything worse, horrible. Oh, my God, it's so awful. It's kind of like how when you have a three-year-old on the playground, he falls, he gets a little nick on his knee, and there's just a tiny bit of blood coming out, and they're saying, oh, my God, I'm bleeding to death, help me. And sometimes it's kind of like how this circle of life goes. If you expect the worst, you get the worst. You see the worst. And that's what my friend Annette reminded me of yesterday. She says, you know, you're focusing on all the bad stuff. What for him anyway? And, you know, that's kind of like, oh, if I did, I marry him. God, have you seen him? He's horrible. Oh, he's such an asshole. And she said, well, then why did you marry a great big asshole? And I said, well, he says he can't live without me. She says, really? Oh. I said, what? She says, he wants to be around you. Did you not, when you were dating, did you want to be around him? I said, yeah. She said, why'd that change? I said, I do. And what changed? I said, I don't know. I guess I got scared, really. That was another blow to the throat. Whew. Jeez. I said, so then we're talking. I'm like, he's like there all the time. He comes and sees me at work. He comes and gets my car while I'm at work. She says, why does he come get your car while you're at work? I said, to put gas in it. She said, oh, that's horrible. Okay, that's another one. Okay, I see. And then we're continuing to talk, and she says, tell me about what happened while you were dating. So we're talking, and I'm like, yeah, I worked third shift at the time. I said, I used to run by because he worked first, and I would either see him or leave him a note, and then I would come home, get my kids ready for school and all. And she's like, hey. Screwing up again. It's how you take and perceive stuff. I went into this saying, oh my God, and it's exactly what my ex-husband wanted. Oh my God, I've got married. That means he's going to be like my second husband, grab my purse, take all the money out of my purse and leave me with nothing, and then start beating the hell out of me. And so it's been like I've been expecting him to treat me bad, which means the little things he's done, which according to my counselor is a normal marriage, because she said if I had a bad marriage, that she's had 20 years of a bad marriage and that she would like to keep a bad marriage. And I'm going, really, woman, you're crazy. I'm paying you to tell me what's wrong with my marriage. And, you know, I get it, okay? This is the thing. And this is what I have giggled about, because Annette, she has a way with words. And she says, you have not empowered yourself with kindness. You have been focusing on the negative because you were scared, and you have been treating people more negatively, and you have been miserable because that's what you expected. You have not embraced that this man is not stalking you. This man is not controlling you. This man just wants time with you. And people, let me tell you, with two kids playing football, going to school, I just started a new job, plus I'm going to school, and then I'm trying to, I've got to get this next book out because I know you guys will enjoy it. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to fit him in with this. And she said, you want to fit him in with it? And I thought, I remembered that feeling I got when he was there. I was feeling like something was missing. And I mean, which is unreal, because when you have something missing like that, it's just weird. Okay, that's how I can describe it. It's just weird. And it's kind of funny because I was the girl that would always say, oh, you got flowers, isn't that so sweet? They're so gross. And now he'll cut flowers and bring them to me, and I'm like, oh, you thought about me. That is so sweet. And, you know, I get it now. You know, that gross stuff is pretty cool. But when you have PTSD and you've had two miserable relationships, I mean, as far as dating, my dating consisted of, I would see the same guy maybe once or twice, and that was only if we were at the bar or out to eat. Like, we never really dated or talked on the phone, because I really didn't have time for that, and I didn't realize it. But then once I started talking to this guy, he would get up before he had to be at work, and he would talk to me to make sure I stayed at home. And then he would talk to me, you know, at night on my way to, even if he was stuck. And for someone to make time for you, it's terrible. God, I just left him. Why does he want to talk to me on the way to work? Why does he want to talk to me on the way home from work? What is wrong with him? And it's like, well, duh. He's enjoying time. And that's something we forget once we get married. You know, I said, I don't understand how people get married and stay married. And look how much they've changed. They've put on weight. Now I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, shit, I must be comfortable because, honey, I ain't missed no biscuit. That's why I got to get back on my plexus. But I'm telling you, this marriage thing is not easy. My kids, they've done better adjusting to it, and they've enjoyed it because they had no male figure in their lives. And he's really taken to my children as far as being a dad. No, they don't call him dad, because that is not something I will force on my children. If they choose to call him dad later on, I'm good with that, because they do not know, two of my kids do not know their dad. Their dads have chosen not to be a part of their life. But my first husband has chosen to be a part of my son's life, and that is something that Barry has accepted. And he and my ex-husband try and work things out for Daniel to make things better for Daniel. And it takes a special person to do that. Am I saying, oh, you're going to get married, all men are going to take your kids in and treat them? No. My second husband looked at my kids as a wart. And he wouldn't buy them anything. He would say, they don't belong to me. Why do I have to buy them clothes? They're not mine. Why am I wasting my money on them? Where this guy has come in and he's like, your kids need clothes, let's go get them some more clothes and all that kind of stuff, you know. And he doesn't complain about spending money for my kids. He understands we have to, or I can't say he feels like he has to. He understands that's kind of like the pepper in the gravy. It burns your mouth, but it's just the extra spice to make it better. It's kind of cute. My 5-year-old decided to play football. And, you know, you've got all these football dads out there. Well, when he played soccer, he didn't have a dad out there. I was the one out there with the men kicking the ball and stuff. And he was okay with that. You know, it was cool. He had super mom. You know, all the other moms are over here talking. And so as football has started this time, Barry has gotten out there more, and Barry has been there more. And I'm finding myself sitting over to the side, and I'm looking at these women like, oh, y'all expect me to talk to you? You're a girl. And I'm going, oh, damn, I'm a girl. What am I talking about? but it is something you have to adjust to. And no, a martini family is not easy, but my kids love it. And I am learning to love it. And I do love it. It's just with PTSD, it makes it hard to, as you said, lay my armor down and accept it. And when you have dating or domestic violence PTSD, that's something that is unexplainable. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the massive amount of money I've had to spend for counseling, I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't be able to talk to you about it. First and foremost, before you get in any relationship, when you come out of a domestic violence situation, you need counseling. Get to know you. I spent several years getting to know me. I'm awesome, let me just tell you. But I felt like something was missing, but I didn't realize it until this man came into my life. And you'll know it. It'll kick you in the ass. Probably, you know, you'll be like, what the hell? And that's kind of like how I am. And with him, you know, the boys and him, they're like, I don't know, I call them the pack, and they're really getting on my nerves because I'm outnumbered, okay? But it is so awesome. You know, my son, my five-year-old, we were talking, and one night Barry was late for work, so I was tucking him in without him. And he says, Mom. I said, what? And he looks up at me with this huge grin, and he said, having a dad is awesome. And I thought, pretty cool kid. You know, what kind of man would do that? And then the next 5 minutes, I'm like, and then the son of a bitch comes in and he sits in my chair and takes my remote. Oh, my God. But I see, so what? He's worked all day. He's worked hard all day, and he deserves that remote. But it took a lot of counseling and talking and speaking it out. And I'm going to keep you updated. I hope my martini family stays together. But it's going to take a lot of prayer and take a lot of focusing on getting rid of my selfishness. And he's got to get rid of his, honey. He ain't perfect, let me tell you. If I made it out to be, that's the PTSD. So as you're trying to blend your martini family, what I'm saying is think about what is really bad, what is really horrible, and what is like, whatever. Honey, if they're beating on you, get the hell out. No one deserves that. If they're coming in and they're bringing a girlfriend in, oh, please, don't you take that because you don't deserve that. But if they're coming in and they're taking the chair and the remote, think about it. For real. Do we want to argue about that? And that took something that I've had to learn. You've got to pick and choose your battles. If everything is a big bomb, then when the big bomb does hit, it ain't going to be recognized. I've got to regroup. I've had to sit back this week and decide. I call it woosah, where you sit back, you chill, and you decide, is it really that bad, or are you just a bitch? And I find it, honey, I am partly a bitch. But thank you so much for your time, and thank you for hearing the show. I hope you do enjoy it. If you take a little bit out of it, I hope you learn something. Check me out, Beyond the Barstool on Facebook. I'm beginning to get my author page up, Jennifer Williams. You can check that out, too. Just thank you for all you do. Be on the lookout for my books, Beyond the Barstool on Amazon, Christmas Miracles, and Empowered Women of Social Media. Leave me some comments, some feedback on Facebook. I love it. Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful day, and always remember Philippians 4:13.
If you're coming with me, you need nerves of steel.